Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Zeros TV. I'm joined today by Ivan Chosevich, the founder of Breakout Point, and that means we're going to be going over what happened in the short selling world over the last month. Ivan, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, Max. Pleasure to see you again.
All right. So I know we're going to look back over a little bit longer, but last week was quite the week in markets. Why don't we start there? What happened in the activist short world?
Oh, yeah. That was an amazing week. So we had across 125 major short calls that we had in 2021, the average drop of targeted shares during the past week was 12.1%. Everybody was winning basically last week. And what we have noted was interesting also, some short sellers were kind of taking victory laps on Twitter, but many were also saying along the lines, you know, we survived 2021, you know, get shorty didn't work out. So that was kind of a sentiment, a bit of victory laps and a bit of, you know, here we are, we survived 2021.
Yes. Collective gasp of, or sigh of relief, I guess, not a gasp. 12.1%. But what, I mean, I don't have it offhand, but what did the market do when you think about, you know, the alpha generated by shorts in this case? Was there real alpha there, or did it keep track with the market and other, let's say, short favorites like ARK ETF?
Yeah, it depends on the time frame, obviously. ARKK did fall a lot last week, but on years basis, the activist short sellers are doing much better than ARKK, not to mention other indices which are up. So basically, last week was bad for ARKK, and very good for short sellers, but not always the case. So I think ARKK lost last week approximately along these lines, along the same values. But, you know, still, that's not always the case. And as mentioned, on a year-to-day basis, the active short sellers on average are up about 38%. And I believe ARKK is down about 20-something percent, maybe 24, would have to check it. So a lot of outperformance there by active short sellers. And there were big outliers as well last week. So we have seen Beyond Spring September short of Night Market Research. So that's one biotech. And basically the thesis of Night Market Research played out. Stock plunged more than 70% last week because the drug results were disappointing.
I know these biotech stocks, it's often priced in that binary sort of fashion. There is usually it's a one product company. They have something that needs to be approved by regulators. And as that data comes in, it either, you know, validates some of the pricing of the stock or it really massively undercuts it. But this binary aspect is common in a lot of different short selling targets. Is it really unique to the biotech space, or is this something you're seeing across a bunch of different sectors?
I would say it's most typical for biotech because they have by far the most these kind of binary type of outcomes, as you mentioned, and we have seen that many times. You know, the thesis is playing out in these biotech names. Sometimes you see that in other names, but it's much less pronounced, and the thesis is more complex, and you know, several things need to happen. Usually, companies are not as dependent as biotechs are on a single product. So,
yeah, and now, you know, talking about that 12.1%, those are the reports that came out earlier in the year, and how they're performing sort of after the fact. But what about new reports? Did anybody take any new ideas to the market this week?
Last week, we have seen Grizzly Research coming out with a new report. So that was targeting Renesol, company from these, what we call China Hustle 2.0 playbook. The shares lost about 20% following the reports last week, and the company is supposed to provide during the earnings call a detailed answer to the key issues raised by Grizzly. So let's see how that plays out. For now, Grizzly thesis is on top of the developments, seems so. Other interesting development was certainly in terms of significant short sellers flagging something was Jim Chanos flagging DraftKings. And interestingly, CEO of DraftKings was very quick to take it to Twitter and to say that basically Jim doesn't seem to understand the math, which is funny because as Hindenburg then that got involved as well replied and said, you know, these are the guys that discovered the Enron accounting scandals a bit odd on that. Every time when CEO takes it to Twitter to respond to the company, dynamics become very, very interesting, I would say.
Yeah, that certainly is exciting whenever the CEO gets into it, especially with a big name short seller like Jim Chanos. What was the actual point of contention that the CEO jumped in on?
So basically, it should be very simple. It's about the multiple of revenues at which companies is trading. So is it 30 or is it something different? So very interesting that this is being then discussed, and excited to see what happens next, especially now with Hindenburg, that published report earlier this year. Chipped in. So let's see what happens next there.
Let's talk about Hindenburg. They've had quite the year. They published over 8 reports, and I think their statistics have been very strong in terms of how much those stocks are on average down. But I know you're highlighting in Breakout Point that it has been a pretty calm H2 for Hindenburg. Can you talk a little bit about how Hindenburg compares with some of their peers and what 8 reports in a year with the stats they have, like how prolific that is?
I mean, they published all 8 reports in the first half of the year. The shares are down about 59% on average following the report. So amazing results on a lot of reports. But in H2, at least when it comes to new public short reports, they didn't publish anything so far. I mean, the year is not still at the end, so they still have time to publish something. So let's see if we see their 9th report. They are performing very well, also compared to their peers. If you look at those that published at least 4 reports during this year, it would be Night Market Research, so specialist in a bit smaller caps, and then Hindenburg, and then Wolfpack Research are the top performers. Also, Kerrisdale is doing very well. And Mariner Research, also focused on smaller companies, is doing very well. Overall, as mentioned, activist area in 2021, despite expectations at the start of the year, did, I would say, great in 2021. And an average targeted stock is down 38%.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that sentiment and some of the victory lapping that we discussed earlier, because oftentimes short seller sentiment can be a good indicator that maybe a near term, you know, bounce or technical support level is in. I know you track sentiment in the meme stocks. Is this something as well that you track, especially related to short sellers, when they tend to get excited about how well they're doing? Do we tend to see, you know, performance degrade a little bit, at least in the short term?
Indeed, that happens rather regularly, not always, but I would dare to say regularly. So after big great performances for short sellers, we often see big bounces also in this often so-called shit coast that then significantly bounce and maybe, you know, regain the popularity and focus of retail investors, who then see, okay, look, this is down 30%, so let me try it out, and so on. So we do regularly see something like that.
All right. Well, another theme for 2021 that I think would be important to update on is the SPAC theme. So I know you said you track about 125 total major short reports coming out this year in 2021. 28 of them have been targeting SPACs, and that the performance of that group has been particularly negative. Can you talk to me a little bit about what happened with the SPACs, at least in the last month?
Sure. I mean, SPACs were one of the big narratives here in 2021. And compared to 2020, we have seen indeed many more reports. On average, these 28 targets are down 45%. So has been amazingly good for the short sellers as well. So when it comes to what's performing particularly well, it would be few targets of Hindenburg, so Clover Health, for example, also Skills of Wolfpack. Iceberg is out there with EOS Energy, and Muddy Waters with XL Fleet. All of them dropped more than 3/4 as of now.
And I know you just said this number earlier, but off the top of my head, I can't grab it. So the SPACs are down 45% in 2021. What about that broader all 125 group?
Sure. That group kind of catched up last week after this big drop, and that group is down 38%. Also amazing result.
Yeah, but still 7% from the SPACs there, that specific target group.
Of course. And they have been, throughout the year, they have been performing better than the rest of the group. So they have been kind of always those that were doing rather well for activist short sellers. And they did some very, very good picks there, as mentioned. So it was, it's not, we don't have the data on the broad spec performance, but they were very careful in what are and why are they choosing to be the subject of their reports.
So last time we spoke, the aforementioned shitcos and some of the meme stocks were wreaking a little havoc for activist short sellers. I know that's the other side of the breakout point coin. What have we seen from the meme stocks? Did we see the same sort of carnage that we saw in short candidates as we did in meme stocks, or did they hold up relatively well as compared to just your traditional short candidate?
Well, it seems to be a kind of similar picture to what we have seen in Q1 with short sellers, where many were talking about the death of short sellers, end of short selling era, and so on. Some might interpret this as end of meme stocks, because they did suffer some pain recently, not just in equity space, also in crypto space. But we are much more confident than that yet again, the apes will return with another round of meme stocks. So we are not at end of or death of meme stock. What was interesting, the main narratives in the past weeks have been revolving around, from one side, inflation, and from other side, Omicron and so the new COVID variant. So they were looking at both the vaccine stocks and some inflation plays. Also, there are distinct bearish notes here and there, for example, with DocuSign recently and a few other names. So,
well, that's interesting. You talk about, I think we can all piece together what the meme stock crowd might look for on the Omicron side. But what about inflation? What do the apes think about when they think of inflation?
So one of the prominent names was actually Apple, that has been high on these popularity ranks, and the retail community did until recent days did very well with Apple. Something what you would consider boring names, like some big semiconductors or Amazon. So they have been popping up more often than usual. So, and a lot of chatter around Jerome Powell and deflation, and looking at S&P increasingly as well, alongside these narratives. So that sort of thing mainly.
Okay. And then I would love to hear a little bit about what happens when these meme stocks start to take it on the chin. How does the sentiment change? How does the chatter change in weeks like we just had, where it feels like everything is down, versus times when there's a little bit more mix?
That's a good question. Typical case is that there is immediately new narrative popping up, new focus. So they are finding the new winners and the new meme stocks. And if the overall market is down, then the situation becomes tougher. So usually the retail crowd is then reverting to some longer term meme stocks, and which then are being put back to the big scene. So we have seen, for example, at the start of this week, again, Trump SPAC. Very successful spec for the retail crowd initially, coming back, getting in focus, and depending on its performance, it will remain there or remove. But usually, it's as mentioned, not necessarily looking for a new ideas in times like this. It's more to reverting to good old meme stocks and revisiting them at these times.
So we have about 3.5 weeks left in the year. We talked about Hindenburg earlier and how they've taken a lot of H2 off, but they still have some time left. Is that something we normally see with short sellers trying to get a little bit in the last few weeks of the year? What are the trends around year end for the short selling world?
Oh, we have seen years with many reports around the Christmas time. So they don't seem ever to sleep or ever to rest usually. So we could expect a number of exciting reports, but it's also about when are they ready and what the market offers at that specific time. So it might be also in many cases about just getting the proper timing for them. And if it is, you know, late December, it is what it is, they will still go out with the report, even though the markets are slower at that time. Maybe also in these slower times, the active short sellers get more attention from the markets because other developments are much slower. So.
All right. Well, we've exhausted most of my focus. I want to ask you one final question. That is, what are you looking out for as we close out the year?
We have been looking at the European side a bit, so because Breakout Point is based in Germany, here in Europe. So, and we have seen when it comes to short sellers, two interesting developments there. So one is that overall level of activity this year has been lower than in previous year, even though the active short sellers had a lot of success in 2020. But for whatever reason, you know, the level of activity did went down. And on regulatory side, we have been following in these weeks consultation papers by European agency for markets. And interestingly, the Muddy Waters, so Carsten Block, responded to this consultation, and that was a very, very interesting response. Basically, when it comes to naked short selling and the views provided by a European agency, I'm paraphrasing now, but Carson compared those views on naked short selling with sort of views by shamans and witch doctors, not really to scientific views and scientific approach to this subject, you know, where you could basically should be able to check, you know, the amount of any potential naked short selling and come up with precise numbers instead of assuming too much. So that's been interesting. So let's see how that what happens there in 2022. And, you know, hopefully we will see more of scientists and less of witchcrafting.
Anybody who's not familiar, Carson's paper is out on SSRN. I'll make sure to put a link to it in the description here. And it was a broad paper, actually, from the regulator. They had a bunch of different points that they went through, recommendations that they thought would be best for, you know, creating a better marketplace, and Carson sort of went through those point by point, and not everything he disagreed with. So as much as you talked about the strong disagreement on some of the aspects of it, which he felt lacked rigorous scientific backing for those opinions, there were other things that he did agree with. So I recommend everybody to go through that, read them point by point, because it isn't that straightforward.
That's very true. Indeed, we did focus on this exciting part, so to say. Most exciting part.
It was the quote. That was the quote to pull. As a media guy, you picked the right one. All right, Yvonne, thank you so much for coming back on. This is a lot of fun. I look forward to doing it again in the new year as we kick off another exciting year in the markets.
Thank you, Max. All the best and enjoy the week.